Let me ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. We're in the midst of a series on the promises of God. There are over 8,000 promises of God in the Bible. We will not be doing 8,000 sermons on the promises of God, but we're going to look at a few of them. One of them comes from James chapter 1. Let's begin our reading now at verse 5. And read through verse 8 of James chapter 1. Hear now the word of God. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for the promise that we have here. Lord, help us to understand better this promise and to claim this promise in the way that you've given us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the year 2015, a baseball legend by the name of Yogi Berra passed away. Now, I'm not much of a baseball fan, but I did appreciate something in particular about Yogi Berra, and that is that he had these phrases he would use that both made a lot of sense and didn't make any sense at all. These phrases are called Berra-isms. Some real head-scratchers. Let me share a few with you. Yogi Berra said, "The future ain't what it used to be." Another one, "I never answer an anonymous letter." One I can identify with, "I usually take a two-hour nap from 1 to 4. Now here's my top three. Yogi Berra once said, "You better cut that pizza into 4 pieces because I'm not hungry enough to eat 6 pieces." Always go to other people's funerals or they will not go to yours, obviously. And his probably favorite saying was this, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." Notice he said, "When you come to a fork in the road, not if." See, in this journey that we call life, there are many forks in the road. There's many times when you'll come to a place in your life where you have a decision to make. And there's a road going this way, and there's a road going this way. And you wonder if the decision you're about to make is the right decision or the wrong decision. You're standing there at that fork in the road, but you don't really know exactly whether the decision is right or wrong. Which road do you take? Well, we do not have to, this day or any day, rely on an internal compass within us. As a matter of fact, we don't need to rely on an internal compass. What we have is a GPS from God giving us direction. And the name of this GPS from God is something the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom. We need wisdom. For all the forks in the road that we approach, we need wisdom. Married people need wisdom. Single people need wisdom. Parents need wisdom. Children need wisdom. Young people, middle-aged people, seasoned citizens need wisdom. You need wisdom at school, in the workplace, in your family. You need wisdom in these messy and often complicated relationships that you have. In every conversation, in every online social media exchange, as you process this tidal wave you receive every day of news stories crashing into your mind every day, financial, spiritual, emotional, these pandemic, racially charged election year days, in times of trials, which most any day can have a trial, no matter where you are on life's path, you need wisdom. Here's the good news from James chapter 1 and from God's word, and that's this. God promises He promises to give you wisdom. Think about it. What a great promise. Now, this promise is only for Christians. It's for believers who are the recipients of God's generous grace in Christ. We have full and free access to our Heavenly Father. This Heavenly Father, who is in Romans 16, 27 and Jude 25, described as the only wise God. You see, if you're a Christian, the promise of James 1 is your mail with your name and address on the mail. Now, something we need to know about wisdom before we look at it, not the same thing as intelligence. See, a person can be smart, but still not be wise. We often hear foolishness every day from people who are educated experts in every field of knowledge. People who are, in the words of the late Howard Hendricks, and I love this quote by him, he said, "These people have educated themselves into imbecility." You know, the difference between wisdom and knowledge is this, or intelligence. Intelligence, knowledge, has to do with the accumulation of facts, stuffing your information, your frontal lobe of your brain. Wisdom, on the other hand, has to do with the use of knowledge. Yes, a person can be smart, educated, and at the same time be very unwise. When it comes to this multifaceted diamond of wisdom, there's also not only a useful dimension to wisdom, but a moral dimension to wisdom. That is, people can be extremely intelligent and yet guilty of great moral evil. Throughout history, many rulers, many people punishing political philosophies, promoting the evil human holocaust that is abortion. A lot of those people are very intelligent, but they're not wise, because having information by itself does not immunize you against doing what is wrong. Wisdom requires the moral application of knowledge in order to do what is right, that is, what is right according to the Bible. I'll give you an example. If you know the access code to someone's online account, you have knowledge, but if you use that knowledge to steal from that person's account, a lot of adjectives would describe you, but wise would not be one of those descriptors. So what is wisdom? Let me give you a definition. I'll repeat it a couple of times in case you're taking notes. Wisdom is this. Wisdom is having a God-fearing, biblically informed, practical perspective on the living of life. Wisdom is having a God-fearing, biblically informed, practical perspective on the living of life. Wisdom is knowing what to do in the nitty-gritty decisions of life when you come to one of those forks in the road. Every day you'll make decisions, but will that decision be a foolish decision, or will that decision be a wise decision? Which road will you take, the road of wisdom or the road of foolishness? This morning, two considerations about wisdom from James chapter 1. The first consideration is this. Let's consider, first of all, the promise of wisdom. Here's a promise God gives us, the promise of wisdom. Now, notice some characteristics of this promise. One characteristic is this. This promise is for people who know they lack wisdom. The Greek construction here in verse 5 should be read like this. Since any of you lack wisdom. Since, in other words, everyone is assumed here that everyone being addressed, including you and me, lacks wisdom. You know, all through the book of Proverbs, we read that wisdom is valued more than silver. It brings more profit than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you have can compare with it. There's a really fascinating account in 1 Kings where Yahweh appears to Solomon. And this is what he does. He says, look, here's a blank check, carte blanche. Whatever you want, just ask, I'll give it. Think about that. Put yourself in his position. Whatever you want, gold, diamond, rubies, real estate, You want a whole country? Sure. Fortune, fame, power, pleasure, you name it. As a matter of fact, this is the only time in the Bible I can recall that God says, name it and claim it. Solomon thinks, and he goes, actually doesn't think very long. This is what he says. I want, Lord, I want discerning wisdom. Think about that. He could have all those things, but he wants discerning wisdom. Friends, wisdom is a great choice to make. But you know what else about wisdom? It's not a popular choice. It's not a popular choice. But listen, there is such a thing as being an educated fool, and that's not what you want to be. We need to realize, regardless of our status in life, economically, socially, no matter how well educated we are, the status we all share together is this. We are wisdom poor. In our wisdom account, there is a zero balance. If we want wisdom, we need to realize when it comes to wisdom, we are paupers, not princes. Notice another characteristic of this promise of wisdom. Not only is it for those who realize their wisdom deficit are actually wisdom poor, but notice the promise of wisdom is the promise from a gracious God. Look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, that is, since you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Notice that. God gives wisdom. He's a God sympathetic to our need for wisdom. And notice this phrase, without reproach. I looked at some other translations, and it says, God gives wisdom without reproach. God upbraideth not. God does not find fault. He does not rebuke you for asking. God is never condescending towards you when you ask for wisdom. In other words, if you say, God, I want wisdom, God doesn't respond by saying, who do you think you are? Take a number. Get in line. I'll put you on hold. I'll answer when I want to. Or what? Didn't you just come here 2 days ago begging for a handout of wisdom, and here you are again? Come on, man. There's so many people out there who actually deserve wisdom. Why should I give it to you? Or even worse, you must be some kind of dummy to be coming back to me again and again and again asking for wisdom. God doesn't do that. So when you ask for wisdom, remember who you're talking to. This God revealed in the Bible is not like a loan officer at a bank just waiting at lying in wait to hammer you because he just discovered you have an awful credit karma score. Friends, this is a gracious God who is more willing to lavish wisdom on us than we are willing to ask. He's willing to even lavish wisdom on losers like us. Think of it this way. Wisdom is according to your need, not according to your merit. See, that's what grace is. It's undeserved favor to undeserving people. When we approach God for wisdom, God's door is always open, and you're always welcome. So wisdom is for people who know they need it, people who approach God as a gracious God. Notice also the promise of wisdom is an abundant promise. Notice it says, let him ask God who gives generously, abundantly. Our Heavenly Father is not going to tell any of us, sorry, I've already given you your wisdom allowance for this week. You can't have any more. Heavenly Father is not like a pre-conversion Ebenezer Scrooge responding to your wisdom request with, bah, humbug, wisdom? No, not at all. God's promise of wisdom is more like Niagara Falls, cascading from heaven's abundant waterfall, flooding your life, infusing you with wisdom, the way that water irrigates a dry desert. Ask God for wisdom, you get wisdom from God. You don't get it in droplets, spoonful here or there. You get wisdom in spades. avalanche of wisdom. Notice also, this promise of wisdom is a sure promise. It's not just abundant. It's not just a promise of grace. It's not just for those who need it. It's a sure promise. Notice what it says. Let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach. I love this phrase. And it will be given to him. Not it might, or there's a 50-50 chance. No, asking for wisdom from God is not like rolling the dice or playing the lottery where you may roll a 10 or you may roll a 2. You may get a winning lottery number or not. It's not like playing a slot machine. It's not even like Publishers Clearing House where you may or may not get a knock on the door from Lady Wisdom. No, God says it will be given to you. As sure as the sun rises today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, God will give wisdom to you. Ben Franklin once wrote a letter to a diplomat in France. He said, and I quote, "Our new constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." God's promise of wisdom is more sure, more certain than death and taxes. But I want you to notice something. This promise of wisdom that you need, that you want, I hope you crave this morning. This promise of wisdom has a condition attached to it. For a moment, compare wisdom to a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, or a Mercedes Rolls Royce, which I found out the other day is valued at $13 million. You need to know, like an incredibly expensive car, there is a price tag on this high-end luxury promise of wisdom. The wisdom we know we need for living is wisdom with a condition attached. Actually, a number of conditions. So notice in the second place, we've looked at the promise of wisdom. Notice secondly, let's consider the path of wisdom. God promises wisdom, but there is a path to wisdom. In the story Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire Cat said to Alice, I'm paraphrasing, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there." Well, if you don't know how to arrive at a wisdom destination, any road will take you there. But there is, if you want wisdom, a path to take. And our gracious God has marked out a path for us that takes you to that place of wisdom. And this path has a few conditions. Consider these conditions to be signs along the path, markers. Notice one condition is this. To get wisdom, ask God for wisdom. Look at verse 5 again. Let him ask God. It doesn't say let him ask other people. You don't do that because all people are at best a mixture of wisdom and foolishness. And oftentimes we do not have the discernment that it takes to separate the wheat of wisdom from the chaff of foolishness that we get from any human source. Let me ask you, would you trust a broken or a malfunctioning watch to give you the right time of day? Of course not. Friends, we're all fallen people. You cannot ultimately count on your friends, your family, your teachers, your favorite celebrities, your favorite newscasters, your talk show host, your favorite online pundit. You can't count on these people to give you the wisdom that you need for these trying times. Friends, the God we worship is a God who is wisdom rich, full, overflowing with a certain kind of wisdom. Now, how do you know? Here's a good question. How do you know the wisdom that you're getting is from God? Well, page over with me just for a moment to James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, you'll see some characteristics of the wisdom that comes from God. You hear wisdom, someone says, God has told you this. How do you know? Look at verse 17. The wisdom that comes from above, that is from God, is first pure. That is, it's morally pure. Then peaceable. This wisdom won't stir it up. It's gentle. Has power, but that power is under control. It's open to reason, not closed-minded, not stubborn. Full of mercy and good fruits. Impartial and sincere. Friends, when you drink from the fountain of wisdom that flows from that God, let the EPA test the waters of this fountain. Not a trace of moral or spiritual pollution in the fountain of God's wisdom. And you know what? Grace upon grace, this God invites you to open the floodgates of His wisdom so you may be soaked and swimming in the wisdom you need for life. So ask God for wisdom. Second condition is this. To get wisdom, ask in faith for wisdom. Notice what it says. Let him ask in faith. Notice that in verse 6. In faith. Now be careful with this phrase. A lot of people have a wrong view of faith. They see faith as a high octane additive that fuels our prayers for wisdom. Our faith may be like sticking a stamp on an envelope and then asking for what we want and expecting that envelope to arrive at our Heavenly Father's house. When it comes to wisdom, remember this. What counts is the object of our faith. You ask for wisdom, you need to be absolutely, totally, 100% convinced that the God who you're asking for wisdom is the God revealed in the Bible, who is the God who is ready, willing, and able to give us the wisdom that we need, that wisdom that is revealed. Chapter 3, verse 17. Or viewed from another angle, you could say this. When you ask for wisdom, what you're asking for is this. God, give me the mind of Christ. At every decision intersection I come to in my life's journey, I want the mind of Christ. Now, how can you know the mind of Christ? Let me give you one practical way. Take your Bibles, study the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What you have in the Gospels is a model of wisdom in Jesus Christ. He is a template for every wise decision you can make. Jesus never did anything that wasn't wise. You see, we're going to encounter a lot of crossroads. We live in a world that is after Genesis 3 and before Revelation 21 in this fallen, confusing, trying world. We're going to arrive at a lot of crossroads. We need to look to Christ. So if your trust is in Christ alone, if you trust in this word right here, over all other voices that you hear, wisdom will be yours. Wisdom calls out on the streets. It calls out from God's word. All you have to do is ask. One more condition is this. To get wisdom, ask in faith, and ask without doubting. Notice what it says. Let him ask without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. It's interesting in the Bible how often stormy seas is used to describe people that are really confused, people that are really panicking their way through life. There's one particular story that I know you're aware of. That is the story of Simon Peter walking on the water. The seas are stormy. Jesus calls to Simon Peter. He's walking on the water. He's going, hey, look at here. I'm walking on the water. But then something happens. Simon takes his eyes off of Christ. He begins looking at the waves and the wind and the storm. And he began to sink. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. See, this Jesus who kept Simon walking on the water as long as Simon was focused on Jesus. This Jesus is the very same God who gives us wisdom no matter what we're going through, whatever seas you're sailing through, however stormy they are, however dark the sky, there's wisdom. All you have to do is ask and believe what Jesus reveals in His Word. As a matter of fact, we could go so far as to say this, based on the words of Jesus, that Jesus is more willing to give you wisdom than you are willing to ask for wisdom. It's very clear. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you, and that it includes wisdom. You know, Yogi Berra was almost onto something when he said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Let me give you a revision. Here it is. When you come to a fork in the road, ask God to give you wisdom to take the right path. Now, how do you know it's the right path? Well, it goes along with James 3:17, but also remember this. The path of wisdom is not popular. It won't make you popular. The path of wisdom is not politically correct. You may be destroyed in social media for taking the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom is not social media savvy. But the path of wisdom that God gives you is a path that does two things. It billboards God's glory, and this path takes you to a good place. And isn't the whole purpose of the road to get you to the place you need to go? You're going to have, this week, forks in the road, decisions to make. The question is this: will you choose wisdom or not? May God give you grace to follow what is revealed right here in James chapter 1. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, this week on life's road, we arrive at many forks. Give us wisdom to take the right path. Help us to claim Your promise, to realize our lack of wisdom, to relish Your grace, to be confident in Your willingness to give us wisdom. And Lord, help us to ask for wisdom in faith. Help us to ask without doubting, because we are promised here that if we ask in this way, it will be given to us. Lord, help us to remember today and every day of our life, the only reason we don't have wisdom is because we don't ask. Lord, may we ask You for the wisdom we need. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.